presence comes when we lift him up. Well, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know what time it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We just glorify you. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Are you lifting his wonderful name? Remember his name. What is he? Is he deliverer to you? He is Savior to us. Amen. He's our healer. He's our provider. He is our peace. Oh, hallelujah. You are the Lord God of peace. Hallelujah. You are our master and king. Oh, we reverence you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Bless you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. We don't want to ever take for granted the presence of the Lord. Amen. We want to know that he's with us always. But when we come as a body, we know that he's here. And we know that many times he manifests his presence. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many love his presence? Amen. I know you do. We have some great times here. I was just going to make a couple remarks. I know a lot of people have been looking online and seeing a revival that took place there at Asbury University and there in Kentucky. And I think it's a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. But remember, right now, I believe where we are, God is waking up a lot of people that have been asleep. Hallelujah. He's waking up. I was asking the Lord. I said, well, what's happening here, Lord? And I feel like the Lord right now, we've been praying that, and part of your prayers help some of these things happen, whether it's in Canada or the U.S. or wherever it is in the world. Amen. We have a certain amount of authority. And I want you to realize, you know, this is just the beginning. You know, these are beginning of some things. And some of these people that are receiving this, they wouldn't set foot in you and I's church here. They might not come to our church. Amen. But how many know when God comes to visit? Amen. Things change. But, you know, I want you to stay ready. Stay where you are in his presence. Amen. You're already seeking God. How many are already praying every day? You're praying every day. Amen. You're letting your tongues pray. You're letting God pray through you, the mind of God. And we want to remember when we looked at the book of Acts, chapter 2, this was one of the revivals there in Jerusalem. Amen. We could call it a revival, an outpouring of the Spirit of God. But, you know, and we've looked at this on Wednesdays. We were going through some of the different revivals in the book of Acts. But here in Acts 2, you know, of course, he poured out his Spirit. And then Peter got up and preached. And many people were saved. Well, let's look here in verse, let's just start in 42 here. Well, let's look at 41. Well, let's back up just a little bit. All right, let's go to 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Or we might say this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued, now here we go, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So remember, even though people are being touched and moved upon by the Spirit of God, there's more to revival, we talked about that, than just the outpouring of the Spirit of God. It is, I have no way, this is the Spirit of God. He is moving in their midst, absolutely. But we got to remember, there's part of the body of Christ, if you were not really seeking after God, if you're already seeking after God, hopefully you're revived. We need more revived. We call it revival, but really we're believing for the fullness of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to see the miracles of God, the power of God, the presence of God? And you can enjoy that presence every day. Amen. Every day, you and I, we get to enjoy it every day. We don't want to have the sin of getting used to the presence of God and taking Him for granted. Amen. We want to honor it and honor Him. And I believe that's what's happening and taking place. It's a lot of people say there's just the sweet presence of God and He's drawing people and people are repenting and people are coming to Christ. And these young people, praise God for every one of them. We're going to need them all. Hallelujah. How many believe He's preparing His church for the great outpouring? And He's preparing you because you're going to have to be there. Some of you that are here right now, you're stable and strong, and when people are good, they're going to need teaching. How many know? When people don't understand, they start looking for answers. Amen? You've got to be ready. Because it said here, they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they taught the teachings of Jesus. Amen? And they begin to explain and begin to help them to everyone to understand what's taking place. And so some of you that are teachers out there, be ready. Amen. If you don't teach, you can share what you know. Be prepared because people are coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. And even here, I believe God's working. We know that He's working in our, how many know He's working in our city? Amen. Have you been praying? Are you not believing? Are you believing? Amen. We've got our faith out there, right? God's working in our city. Hallelujah. Are we praying for no reason? We're not. God is moving. Hallelujah. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so we're going to need all of these things and more as we move along. I wanted to read also one prophecy. This was in April of 2022, and it was given at the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa. But I think it's very interesting because it kind of describes what's taking place even now. And this is what it says. It said, you could just listen or you can look this up online there at daveroberson.org, April 3, under prophecies, April 3, 2022. It says, it will be worth it as you follow me. What I saw this time as we were singing, I can only describe it by something that I saw on the internet recently. It was a picture that said, have you ever seen what an atomic bomb would look like exploding underwater? And as we were singing, I saw that picture, an explosion under the waters coming forth. And then I began to see in another place and in another place and in another place and in another place. What some have said would take years and years and even decades, I say to you, I can do in a moment. And I can change things quicker than you think you can do it. So trust me when I say I'm working on your behalf. This is the Lord speaking. He's saying, trust me, I'm working on your behalf. Trust me when I say I have you and I am holding you in the palm of my hand. Trust me when I say it will be worth it as you follow me. And as you stay where I have you stay, and you go where I have you go, trust me that in a moment I can change everything. How many believe God can change it in just a moment? It can change for anyone and everybody. It says, just as I have said there would be wave after wave of my glory, my power. And just as I have said, don't be distracted by those waves. Also, do not discredit those things that I bring upon the earth. Okay, well, that's a warning. Don't discredit what God brings upon the earth, whether it be in this place or in another. Do not discredit what I do, but glorify me, honor me, trust me, and you will see that what I do in one place, I will do in another. And do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Do not think that this is the only place and the only time that I will move. but know that you are a part of all that I am doing on the earth. And it is because you will stay where I have you stay and go where I have you go that I'm able to bring what I bring to the earth. So I need you. I need you. Now the Lord's saying this. He needs you. How many believe he needs you? Amen. As I said, yes, you will be on the front lines. Yes, you will be on the front lines. It is very, very, very close, you see. But the front lines for me may be different than what you had expected and what you desired to see. But you will know when I work through the earth, so glorify me. You will know that it is because you were faithful, because I was able to use your authority. So do not stop. Do not be surprised when I wake you in the night. Do not be surprised when I call upon you throughout the day, and do not delay when I call upon you for prayer. When I call upon you to speak, when I call upon you to move, do not delay, because in a moment, in an instant, I can make a difference. And we've said that here, haven't we? Lord, I'm available. How many are available? Any moment, right? Any time. Lord, whatever you need. It may just be a 30-second prayer that you put up, that God puts on your heart, but you may be changing someone's life or a whole group of people. You're lending your authority to him, and it's very important. All right, and he says this. He says, explosions of my spirit are happening around the world, and you will see that as you are faithful to me, I will use your authority to bring those things to pass. This is what I'm hearing. If you are in this room, it's in your lifetime. Some have said, well, I thought it was going to be in his lifetime or her lifetime or in this lifetime. The Lord says, no, if you will trust me, it is in your lifetime. Woo! Hallelujah. So hang on. Hallelujah. So we're going to trust the Lord. Amen. And we want to honor the Lord for what he is doing in the earth. Amen. So when you see these things happening, watch your heart, guard your thoughts. Sometimes we all want to make a judgment. You know, well, is this really the presence of God? Is this the outpouring of God? Well, I'll say this. They're not seeing Jesus on their toast. They're not having supernatural visitations from the angels of God. But they are worshiping the King of Glory. They are giving all the glory to him. It's not, there's no big name preachers. There's some big name preachers that showed up, but they had to wait in line with everybody else. There's not a special side door for them to go inside, get out of the cold, or a little back room where they drink their coffee while everybody's waiting. Thank you, Jesus. How many are thankful? Amen. But it's these young people are leading it. And matter of fact, I was watching a short, brief part on there, and they were opening the doors again. They had closed part of it because they had to clean the building. At some point, sometimes they got to kind of, and some of the people had to get some rest. But they allowed some of the students that were still part of the school and so forth were still praying, seeking God. But, you know, when they did open the doors, the first people they let in were those that are 25 and under. The rest of you can wait. All you old folks over there. If you're not 25 and under, you can wait. Hallelujah. Amen. How many believe we need to let God move how he wants to, and they're doing what they believe God's doing. I believe other things will take place and move from that. You know, we'll just see how it goes, and we'll trust the Lord. Amen. Let's believe God. Let's honor him. Thank you, Father. Let's just worship God for a moment. Father, thank you for what you're doing in the earth. Thank you for the different places, Lord, where you're breaking out in the colleges and the universities, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're breaking out in our town in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you, Lord. You're raising up. You're waking up leaders. You're waking up the church, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Seeking after you with all of our heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Anyway, I just wanted to share that briefly so that we're watching our own hearts and watching our own selves not to pass judgments and so forth and let God work. Amen. Hallelujah. Because what I notice is there's probably a lot of people there that wouldn't go to a Pentecostal church or Pentecostal meeting, but when God shows up, hallelujah, how many know things change? And that's the most important thing, isn't it? That people's hearts get touched. Amen. Hallelujah. It's great to have miracles. We need them. But usually they get people's attention so they can listen and hear God. And I've seen so many people, you know, when they got touched by God, they got a healing or a miracle. And then what? They open their heart and they share what the real problem is. And so, hallelujah. I remember praying for a guy one time, and we were going from different places, and his knees were bothering. I prayed for him, and, you know, not anything to me, but Jesus touched him, you know. Jesus healed him, and he says, wow, you know. And so you must have a special connection with God. Well, we do know God, and we do our best to walk with him, but then I remember he began to share the real problem. Well, you know, my daughter the other day, could you pray for her? She was raped at the bus stop. You know, and then the issues of life begin to be poured forth. And what is the real problem? It was of the heart, amen, that God wanted to heal and move in and deliver people. So I'm just sharing that because a lot of times when God does things, he's just opening up people's heart. They're sharing his heart with them. And he's so touched by the infirmities, our inability of our flesh, amen, to bring anything to pass or to change things. And it's just saying, hey, I need Jesus. I need God. Will you pray with me in the real things of life? Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, God's moving and he's going to keep moving. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm trying to get over here to the offering, I guess, for a moment. If you've given an offering today, thank you. Praise the Lord for all those that have given and those online. You can give by envelope here, you know, with some cash or check, or you may give online. You go to familyprayercenter.com. And there is a donation tab. You do not have to have PayPal. It does go to PayPal, but you don't have to have PayPal in order to give here. Hallelujah. And usually there's a, I know some people have had a little trouble, some people, you know, but there is a little place to put a little note in there. And if you're giving to something specific that you want your money to go to, we thank you. All those that have given and are giving, we just praise God for you. No one has to give at this church. If you never give, we're not, you know, we're not looking down on you. We're trusting God with you that you'll come to the place where we can. Amen. Hallelujah. I know all of you want to give more than you have and more than you are. You know how I know that? Because you're like Jesus. You want to give. You're a giver. You're like God. You're a giver. How many in here are givers? Amen. You just want to do it. I know it. Deep down, listen to your spirit. Listen to your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We've been kind of talking about money here this month so far. We've had a couple of things. I'm trying to find my paper here that I had. Hallelujah. Let's pray and then we'll get started here, Father. Thank you. Thank you for all those that have given today and those that couldn't give. Father, we ask you to bless in the name of Jesus. Bless each person, Lord, that's watching today and those that are present here, Lord. Father, I ask you for that great and precious anointing of the Holy Ghost to rest upon us today. Open your word, Father, and bring it forth the way you so desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about stewardship with God and a little bit about money and trusting God. And the first thing that we said is we can have faith for provision. How many have faith and know we can believe God to take care of us because we are his son or daughter? You have an inheritance from the Father. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? You are already have an inheritance from God, and you can go to Him at any time. Lord, I have a need. I'm your son. You'll take care of me. And we kind of call that. We looked at Luke 12 there, and we looked a little bit at the guy that kept building bigger barns, didn't we? You know, there in Luke 12, he kept building bigger and bigger barns. In other words, he was looking at his own self, wasn't he? But then Jesus came along and he said, listen, if you'll look to the birds of the air and you'll look to the lilies of the field, you can have bird faith and lily faith and know that I'm going to take care of you better than that. Amen. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know who you are. I know what you need before you even ask. So if you approach me and ask me, I will provide for you abundantly. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure your needs are met. Amen. Philippians 4:19, but my God. Hallelujah. How many believe that your God will take care of you? But my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And of course, 2 Corinthians 8:9, we know the grace. Jesus, and we said how Jesus became poor for us, right? That we, through his poverty, might be rich. Not what we did, but what he did at the cross alone. Father, I thank you that you take care of me, that you provide for me. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to make a little disclaimer, because all of us have to remember we're supposed to be walking with him. Amen. But if you're his son, and you love him, and you trust him, and you're doing your best to follow him, he will take care of you. He'll be sure you're going to be taken care of. It doesn't matter what the economy becomes. It doesn't matter how much stuff costs. He'll take care of us. Amen. He has ways that we don't know of. He hasn't forgotten how to bring food to you through the raven if necessary. He hasn't forgotten how to bring food to you like the manna that they got in the wilderness. He'll provide for you every single solitary day when we'll put our trust in him. Amen. And that's our first deal. And then we looked here last week at Luke 16, and we begin to see how to be a steward. We saw the steward, and the steward in this parable was going to be cast out of his stewardship because he wasn't doing right by the master. They felt he's cheating, and he knows he's going to be released from his job. And so he goes and he says, I'm going to cancel some of the debts of those that owe some money so that when I am out of this stewardship, they'll take me in. I'll have a job somewhere else. I'll have somewhere to go. I'll have someone who'll see how, you know, because I was good to them. They're going to scratch my back. I scratch theirs. And God said, hey, take a look. Some of these people in the world are more shrewd. They're more wise than those in the kingdom have been. But if we'll use our money to cancel the sin debt of men, we'll have those that receive us in heaven, rewards that will last for an eternity. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we go from the place of knowing that he is our provider. And as we learn that place and we come to a place of peace with God, knowing, hey, he's greater than the lilies of the field. He knows the birds of the air. He's going to take me, and we move into a place where we steward our money. We use your money, and whereas we're wise like the unjust steward, and we make our decisions based on eternity and how many souls are going to be in heaven. Amen. And we're not worried about God taking care of us, but now we're thinking that, hey, everything belongs to God. We're his steward. We're managing what he has given us for him in every affair of our life. They're his property, his finances, and the affairs of life. And we're becoming God's steward of what he has given us. And today, I'd like us to look over here in Luke chapter 19. This is kind of a long, not real long, but verse 11 through 27. I want to read that. And we'll look at it. And we'll see how to increase some of the money he's given us to steward. Do you know all of your money doesn't have to come into the kingdom? Amen. You have some that he may want you to use and increase. And that's what we see here. And we could say, you know, this is the parable of the pounds, or the parable of the, you know, some call it the talent or the mina. You know, there's different names, but it was an amount. It was an amount of money that God gave each person to steward. So let's take a look here, beginning in Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. I've thought that before too. It seems so real, doesn't it? On the inside of you, you're thinking, oh, he's coming today. This must be it. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, that can be, sometimes it's called pound here, or a mina, or shekels, you know, and so it's an amount of money that they received. And he said unto them, occupy till I come, or in other words, do business until I come. That's another way of saying that. Do business until I come. And later on, we'll see that here. But his citizens hated him and went and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained, what? By trading. So you see, they're doing some kind of business, some kind of trading. They're using money to gain something else, to gain more money, really. Then came the first, saying, Lord, your pound is gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, or a stern man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I did not, I laid not down. In other words, he got something that he didn't put anything into. He reaped, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou thy money into the bank at least, right, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury or with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound that gave it the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which has shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, they don't want me to reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So here we see where Jesus had given out certain amounts of money, and some had taken their pound, and they first gained 10, the other gained 5. And then you've got the guy that put his, he just hid his, he put his under a bushel, we might say, or he stuck it in his drawer, dresser drawer, put it in a little napkin, or maybe he wrapped it up in his, handkerchief and hid it away. Because I know, Lord, that you're tough on me, and you're pretty tough on people, and I wanted to be sure I didn't lose mine. In other words, we might say he had a love of that money and a fear, right? He says, I got to keep this. I don't want to lose what I have. And he says, oh my goodness, you've been lazy. You are not, he didn't call me good servant. He said, you're a wicked servant. You knew that I'm going to take something up or I didn't plan. I wanted you to do some business. I wanted you to use the money that you had. And you just hid it away. Now, sometimes people refer to that also as our, our gifts or talents. And that's part of it. But here he's really talking about finances, isn't he? He's talking about money. He gave them a certain amount. He says, can you increase the pound for me? Faithfulness graduates you from phase two of knowing that you're a steward into one that's going to be the third part, which is you're going to increase what God has given you. Because you've been what? Faithful over the little. And you're becoming faithful over what God has given you. And when we're faithful for what we already have, you see, we come to that place and we're saying, okay, Lord, it says now I can trust you with more. I can increase you to the place where you're not just over money, but I can also trust you with the lives of people because you have proven yourself faithful in these things and also in the handling of money. You know, he doesn't just give you millions of dollars. Did you notice that? Just because you're there, just because you're a son and you're an inheritor doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. But it does mean that you have a responsibility with what you have. And you may never be a millionaire, but how many think it'd be nice if you took what you had? Maybe you only made $100,000 and you gave it into the kingdom. Or you were able to make $10,000. You might start out and it's only just $20. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Doug. $20? That's mine. I need that $20 right now. Well, if you're being faithful over the 20, then God can make you faithful over the 10, over the 1,000 and the 10,000 and the 100,000 and whatever other amount he chooses to help you to gain, amen, into the kingdom. We need to not think so lightly of the $5 and the $10 that's in our wallet today because he wants us to be faithful. And as we are faithful, he may lead you in different areas of your life. We've got to remember, I'm making the disclaimer, especially here, and when you're increasing the pound, it's got to be in connection with God's call on your life. You got to listen to him, don't we? Remember, we talked about that last week a little bit when we were talking about Isaac who sowed in the field. He had to hear what God said. It wasn't the same as it was with his father Abraham who went down to Egypt, even though perhaps that thought crossed his mind. I think I'll go down to Egypt like father Abraham. And God said, no. I want you to stay right here. I want you to sow into this dry earth. I'm sure it wasn't a lot of fun. I want you to dig some wells. I want you to do some things. Amen. And his instructions come. And that's where we learn and we do business with God. Amen. How many want to do some business in the earth with God so that you can reap a harvest? See, your harvest isn't up there in heaven. He's not raining down money from heaven as much as we'd like him to counterfeit some, put it in your wallet. That'd be great, wouldn't it? kind of like the government does, they don't really counterfeit, but they just make it, Well, we need a little more money. I get those printers rolling. We can't really do that, can we? But we can trust God, and we can gain his wisdom, and we can be faithful with what he has given us. And how we handle money tells God volumes about how we're going to handle people. Oh, Lord, help us. God watches our faithfulness and stewardship, and he watches our heart and our obedience to him. You know, he's not really looking at how much you gave, but he's looking at your heart. You know, you said, well, it was only $20. Well, yes, but God's looking at the heart. Amen. And I mean, what if it's only $20 the rest of your life? Are you satisfied to be obedient to give $20? Well, I wanted to give more than that because then people would see me as somebody. Well, you're not supposed to be trusting what your right hand does to the left hand. Amen. It's supposed to be, Lord, I'm going to do what you say, and that's what I'm going to do. And if he keeps you at that level, what's wrong with that? Anybody have a problem? You know, sometimes we don't always go to every place. Everybody's not called to be a billionaire. Everybody in the body of Christ is not called to be a billionaire. I'm just telling you right now. And most of us in this house right here probably will never touch that status. But some of us may. That may be a call of God on your life. And you may touch billions. Nevertheless, we're increasing what God gives us to steward. And so being faithful to increase the pound and to gain what by business and by trading, the steward in phase two doesn't do anything necessarily about increasing his money. He's got a certain amount he's stewarding and he gives and so forth. But in phase three, we're talking about God's grace and his anointing to increase that money. What would you have me do, Lord? And most Christians think, how much of my money will I give to God? Did you hear that? How much of my money will I give to God? That's what many people think of, isn't it? Okay, I worked hard for that money. Look, how much of my money will I give to God? But the steward, you know, we graduated from the provision to being a steward, right? And the steward thinks all of it's his money. Out of all that he's given me, if we're really going to steward the money for God to increase, we say, how much is reserved? Lord, how much is my provision and how much is reserved for the gospel of God? For God, for me to use as God sees fit. See, he may give you some money, but you know, it is possible he might have some of the people, you know, if you make $1 million, he might have you invest that money. And he said, I want you to invest it in something else and make more. Why? So that you have 2 million or 5 million or 10 million. And you may have certain investments that God says, okay, I want you to just take what comes in off the top so it's a consistent thing. And you give that money into the kingdom. And it happens year after year after year. And you become God's steward. Hallelujah. How many would like to be God's steward? Amen. I know a lot of people, they think that's their call. You know, oh, I'm called to be a gospel entrepreneur. Well, it's mostly because they want money. See, and that's the problem. Amen. We think that's, you know, the Bible says it's a, Jesus said it's a deep sycamine root. That's the tree that has the roots that goes way down. They're all knotted and they're very deep. And we think, well, I don't have any of the love of money in me. But we'll find out, right? Amen. As we move forward, sometimes we don't have any money and we can have a love for money. I remember one particular gentleman, he was trained with Pastor Dave and so forth, and he was a pastor, and God started dealing with him about doing a couple of businesses in addition to what he was doing, and you know, and he said, Lord, because he came down, not immediately, but he came down, and he said, my wife and I, he said, we were so poor, we got so poor and so far down that we ran out of toilet paper and we didn't have any money to buy more. He said, that's pretty low. You know, he said, this is a serious problem. So he starts talking to the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to him. He said, well, you've got the love of money in your heart. The love of money. I don't have any money to love, Lord. But that was the problem. And he began to talk to the Lord about it and went on to allow God to purge him from that love of money and started two or three or four different businesses that became multi-million dollar businesses. And he found out, he said, I found out that what God is looking for is our heart. And we have to also learn the second thing, and that's authority over the devil. God is not holding money back from you. It's the devil. And he would take 2 hours lunch every day, even though he worked long hours. He worked a lot of hours. Now, some people say, well, I want to start a business, and that way I won't have to work so much. Well, don't start a business. I'm just helping you right now. Don't start a business. If you anybody here that started a business knows you got to work. And most of the time, if you're the owner, you work more than all the employees. They go home to their family and you're still working. And it's not always easy. You say, well, how come I got to work so much? Now, there may come a time when you can, you know, it may change and you can have a little bit more free time. But it takes a long time. You got to start a business. It takes a while before you can even afford to hire somebody. Then you got to hire a manager, and then you got to pay them, and you have all expenses, and you have a lot of responsibilities, and you still have to work because you have to oversee everything. You got to make sure it's done right, and you're not being stolen from, and things aren't happening. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not always easy. It takes work. And we need to not be afraid of work. God doesn't bless laziness, and we looked at some of those scriptures the other night, didn't we? Last time, go to the ant, right? Go to the ant, consider her ways. Look at them, how she labors without somebody telling her what to do. Sometimes we got to get ourselves laboring and not be afraid of hard work. Sometimes that's the problem. Everybody says, well, how come the church doesn't have any money? Well, you know, many times people in the church, they do want to seek God, but, you know, God gives them something to do, but they don't want to work. They just think it's all going to be handed to me. You know, don't you know there's going to be a great wave, a move of God. The wealth of the sinners laid up for the righteous. Well, usually it comes to the righteous because the righteous get themselves in a position where they can receive it because they've done some labor. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't usually come. You know how many people, most people become millionaires? Everybody says, well, they probably inherit it. No. That's like maybe 1% of people that become millionaires inherit it. Did you understand that? Did you hear that? You know, you're probably not going to inherit it. Even if their parents were millionaires, they didn't inherit it. Amen. Somewhere they spent it all or whatever, but it didn't get to them. Most people became millionaires because they were faithful with little. You know who some of the greatest people that become millionaires are? Some of them, they say teachers. Teacher is one of the greatest people because they have learned discipline. They'll look things up. They'll study it out, and they'll put a little bit of money at a time. Did you know the proverb says, if you save little by little, you'll be rich? Glory to God. We got some young people in here. You can start today. You know, if they just put a small amount of money every week from their check into an account, you know, and you begin to let it build money. So, well, it's not very high interest. Well, it didn't have to be high because there's something called rate times time. Rate times time equals your return. And if you've got more time, you get a greater return. Now, of course, you can still get that return, but you got to put a whole lot more in there. You know, they say, what, 10? If you can get $10,000 or $12,000 by the time you're 25 years old into an account, you could be a millionaire by the time you're 65. Retire a millionaire. Isn't that something? Even if you didn't add to it. Even if you didn't add to it, you just had it in an interest-bearing account. 10%, 9%, 8%, whatever. And you can make a lot of money. And you could be rich. But you know what it takes? Faithfulness, doesn't it? Amen. Faithfulness. God's looking at our heart. Anyway, let's move along. Hallelujah. But so we fix our provision, and we fix it at a dollar amount every month or every year, not necessarily a percentage of what comes in, because with the percentage, as the box gets bigger, your part gets bigger. But we're not looking for our part to be bigger, are we? We're looking to increase for the master, right? There's a difference. Doesn't mean he's not taking care of you, but you have to decide. You have to get with God. Well, how much is mine, Lord, and what is, how much do I live on, Father? I mean, if you make a lot of money, I mean, it could be $100,000, $200,000, you know. But if you don't make $100,000, like most people in here I don't think do yet, hallelujah, maybe some do. But, you know, don't say that about me, Pastor. I'm not cursing you. I'm blessing your business. I hope you make $200,000 or three or more. But I'm just saying we have to set our amount with the Father. Get with him. Lord, what do I really need to live on? Of course, you should probably add up your bills because he's going to give you at least that, right? You know, and then whatever it is with him, you talk to him about it. And you get with him and you find out and set a dollar amount. See, Lord, this is what I'm going to live on. Okay. And then as money comes in, that's your part. And set that amount. And as your box gets bigger, your part stays the same, right? You just keep living on the same. So if I'm here and I say, well, Lord, I need $60,000 a year to live on. I'm just saying it's an amount, not a bit, you know, not huge, but it's an amount, right? I need this to live on. Oh, this is what I believe. What do you say, Father? Well, I think you can make it on 50 cents. That's enough. You know? Okay, Lord, we'll do 50. How about that? And he's not stingy, so he'd probably do 60, you know, but maybe he'll meet you in the middle. You talk to him. You know, he'll tell you. He said, 55, Lord, how about 55? That'd be all right. Yeah. Oh, okay. If you want 55, we'll go there, but, you know, be careful. Okay? Okay, Lord, we'll do it. So we got the Lord. We talked to the Lord. We got our amount. We set our salary. Now, if I make $1 million this year, then how much of that $1 million is mine to live on, my provision? Okay? If we set it at 60,000, me and the Lord, then I live on that 60,000. That means everything else, 940,000 is for me to steward for him. I know, but I worked hard and look how much I made, and that's not a very high percentage, is it? But if that's what the Lord says, that's how we do. Are you understanding how the increase can come? Because we're not saying, Lord, I'll just give you this much, but everything I own, Lord, belongs to you, even my provision. And I say, okay, Lord, I'm setting my provision right here. This is our amount for our provision. The rest is to steward for you. I didn't say he's going to tell you to give it all away. He may not. He may have you give a large part of that or start another business or increase it with trading or business. Amen. How many believe that? How many know if he got it to you, he can speak to you how to use it? Amen. If he got you where you could receive it, then he'll speak to you how you can use it for him. Amen. Hallelujah. So as our part doesn't keep getting bigger, does it? But his does. And so here's where the Holy Spirit will co-labor with you and give you the ideas that no one had before to increase your pound. Maybe they did, but maybe they didn't. These ideas may come from him, okay? As I shared the very simple idea that came one time to someone, and they were putting the silver coins, or they were supposed to put the silver coins into a safety deposit box. How many in here could go rent a safety deposit box? How many could exchange your money for some silver coins? You just go up there and you take some money every week and you get some silver coins. Could you do that? Everybody in here? I think everybody in here could do that. All of you, okay? You say, well, you know, I don't have the money for the safety deposit. But, well, that's where we begin then. We say, okay, well, I need to believe God. It's not that expensive for one, really. So you begin to believe God. You get the money, you get the safety deposit box, and then you say, hey, I'm going to take part of my money, Lord, and do what you said. And it may not be tomorrow, and it may not be today. How many know he might tell you to buy a piece of property somewhere? Hey, you know how many millionaires Paul Young Yi Cho had when he started his church? You know how many millionaires he had in his church? Zero. Zero millionaires. But today they have several millionaires in the church that he had started. He's passed away now, but it's still rolling. And they have a lot of prayer, Prayer Mountain, praise God. All right, but that's where we begin, and we begin to see that it is the use of what God gives us that we can come to a place, if that is our desire, and that is God's desire. We don't just hold that money. We don't just hide it, do we? We don't just keep it, but we allow interest at least. He said the least we would do is that we could at least put it in a bank account and get a little interest, at least. And so, but we want the ideas of heaven. And if you're called into gospel entrepreneurship, then it may be other things as well. Hallelujah. Well, I was going to delve into something else today, but I think I'll pass. Let's look at a few scriptures, though, here that I want to bring into to play. And maybe next week we'll probably finish up next week. And I may wade out into Malachi next week. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew 6:33 for a minute. Here's some things that we want to have in our heart. Because how many know God doesn't mind you having money, but he doesn't want the money to have you? Amen. And we want to avoid materialism and covetousness. Amen. Matthew 6:33 is a very popular scripture. Most of you probably can quote it. But let's take a look at it. It says, but seek first. Now, this is also just like it was in Luke, but this is right after he had told them not to worry. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many know that the Gentiles seek after many things? Unbelievers do, right? How I can get a bigger house, a bigger car, what I can get next year. Many of them live for the love of money and the love of things. But we're going to seek first the kingdom of God. The thing Jesus was referring to was all the things that the Gentiles spend their whole lives seeking after, such as, you know, a bigger car or a bigger house. And, you know, if you listen to the message and pursue what people have said about, hey, I'm going to, last week, you know, I'm going to try to get larger fields, and my purpose is to heap up treasure for myself, then we've got a problem, don't we? Remember, we talked about that last week where the farmer's out there. He said, I'm going to build some bigger barns. I'm going to get some more, and then I'm going to sit down and take my ease. But the Lord said, today, your soul's required of you. You've gained the world, but we can lose our soul. Amen. All right, and many people pursue mammon. And God said, we're to pursue first what? His kingdom, right? And if it comes from his ideas, amen, his money begins to flow. And he has better ideas than anybody in this world, amen. Colossians 3:23, let's look at that for a minute. I'm just giving us a couple scriptures so that we can watch our hearts and be sure that our heart is right with God, you know, by doing these things and pursuing him, spending time in prayer, spending time praying in other tongues, letting him deal with our heart, deal with the love of money before you ever get a lot of money. Amen. You know, there's some people that have gotten a lot of money and it almost destroyed them, or it did destroy them. People don't believe that sometimes, but it has happened. There are some churches I know that were given a lot of money. I know a particular ministry myself. They were given $2 million, and so they went out and bought a $1 million house. And I wept. It broke my heart. Not that God didn't want to bless them, but why did you need, you know, you spent 50% of what God gave you, what people gave you for souls and for the ministry of God. And that's why it's important. That's why I say I think it's important for all of us to look at our heart, every single one of us. Colossians, what did I say? Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:23. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord," right? "And not unto men." Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever we're going to do, we want to remember we do it unto the Lord. Thank God. I know one thing that was I'm really grateful for. Something my dad would pray at every meal just about. "Father, thank you for the work for our hands to do." Have you ever been thankful for your work? Amen. How thankful are you sometimes? Sometimes I think I'm getting a day off. Oh, praise God. You know, and that's good. It's good. We need to have rest. It's okay. Tomorrow's family day, so praise the Lord. You know, if you don't work tomorrow, thank you, Jesus. You know, some of you here are retired. Praise the Lord. Use your money wisely and, you know, keep working. Amen. Keep trusting God. We still work because whatever we do, we're doing it unto the Lord. Are you going to school for Jesus? Unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you are in school and we need to get that. And those are some of the things. I do want to talk about some of that. Maybe next week we'll get to more of that. I just feel like we need to kind of close down here a minute.